You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers get a very satisfying win over the Vikings.
A critical injury to DeMar Hamlin stuns the NFL.
The Lions are next on the schedule Sunday night.
And it could be a winner-take-all for the seventh seed.
Four quarters of Packers talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time for some Packers news, fun, and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio. Now in our 13th season doing this wacky thing. Our revered hosts tonight are C. DeAngeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter. Missing tonight is Kelly Hodgson of Cheesehead Radio. And your other host tonight is little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. You can find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. As usual, our friends at Ticket King are official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all of the Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King is a local Wisconsin business with offices across the street from Lambeau Field and Milwaukee. So if you need Packers game tickets, please visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com, and please tell them we sent you. That's it for the preliminaries. Let's get this thing going.
Austin Powers always defeats me because he has mojo.
Mojo?
Mojo. The libido, the life force, the essence, the right stuff. What the French call a certain... I don't know what.
Well, I don't know who predicted the Packers to lose last week.
Who could that be?
But
raise your hand, please.
I'm going to pull a Kelly here because I was so nervous and I was so anxious going into this game that I really think I had to pick against them just for pure superstition because I didn't want any sort of...
It just fessed up just making the wrong pick.
I did make the wrong pick, but I will happily take that loss.
Right.
Because I don't know if there's been a win more satisfying.
Right.
I honestly didn't go to the game this year. I'm wishing I would have gone to the game, but it was wonderful. Just a great, huge win against the Vikings.
Yeah, it would have been great to see those Vikings fan faces in person as they as they trudge out of Lambeau Field.
I wasn't there, but Aaron Rodgers did say today in an interview, he said there was a lot of purple in the stand.
And, yeah.
Maybe not quite 50% as maybe I was predicting, but there was still a lot. So that is a rather rewarding feeling because I remember that feeling at the Cowboys game this year because there was a lot of Cowboys fans, and it's really nice seeing them after having been so lippy throughout the game to all, you know, put their tail between their legs and slink out of the stadium. It's like, yeah, get out of here.
Heads down. Don't make eye contact. You know, just walk out to your car. Sorry,
well, and
guys.
As we're used to saying every week as we start our first quarter with our win over the Vikings, as we say every week, what a commanding defensive performance, Jersey Al.
Yes, we say that every week. About other teams, but
not usually
the Packers, right?
Usually the team playing us.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, talk to us a little bit about that. I mean, we'll talk about Jair maybe more specifically in a second. But, I mean, Kirk Cousins wasn't getting anything going. But maybe more importantly, and I know in the grand scheme of things, this is not talked about that much. It has not been a big storyline. Dalvin Cook was reduced to nothingness. I mean, running game was not a threat, and I think we overlook how important that was.
The defensive line had their best performance, I think, of the season, no doubt. Starting off with that goal line stand, thank you, T.J. Slayton and Kenny Clark, right? But that was the key there, and not just against the run, but they really got a lot of penetration on Cousins. And there was only one sack, and that was from, I think, Hollins on the edge. They were in his face the entire time in front, the defensive line. And to me, I've always said this, and I've been saying this for a couple of years now with Cousins, with the Vikings, that's the key to him. You got to get in his face. That's when he makes the mistakes. And voila, three mistakes. Just as we ordered.
And to be fair, also, the field was pretty slippery for teams that weren't smart enough to wear the, you know, seven, you know, cleated shoes. And that's got to be rough on Cousins to be constantly shooting at a target, which it seemed like almost probably at least once out of every three times was falling down. It does shake your confidence as a quarterback. It's like, God, I hope that guy can cut because that's where that ball's got to go.
Yeah, I mean, I engaged one Vikings fan about this, and he was a reasonable one, you know. But I was like, okay, so let's say the Packers did do this. Let's say they watered the field, which obviously they knew they were going to do it. So they knew that they had the right cleats, right? Well, as an NFL team, right, as a professional team, don't you think that when you travel to an away game, you bring every type of cleat for any type of field condition you're likely to encounter, right? Except for maybe if you're playing in a dome, all right? But if you're playing outdoors, and especially in the winter, you would think a professional team would be prepared for every eventuality.
And you would think that, like, if you had Za'Darius Smith or Shannon Sullivan on your team, who've literally played in this stadium many times, you might want to listen to them and say, hey, how should we dress for this game? Let's just wear our tennis shoes. It's okay. I'm pretty sure they didn't say that. It's like, dude. And, you know, I don't think their defense slipped quite as much as their offense. Their offense seemed to have a lot of issues.
Yeah, without a doubt. And too bad.
It's his life.
Yeah.
The featured presentation, obviously, on this defensive stance was one Jair Alexander. Jair, who has become noticeably more chirpy the last month or so.
Feeling his oats.
Not to say that Justin Jefferson has been any less chirpy, but really drew a line in the sand. We talked about it last week, Al, about the fluke that was Jefferson's, whatever it was, 950-yard performance he had in week one. We expected this to be possibly a clash of titans, but only one titan showed up.
Yeah. No doubt that the Packers smacked Jefferson early and often, and it affected him. And, you know, mocking him
that was
on certain occasions certainly got into his head. Pushing him in the back after an interception, after he had slipped, and got him so frustrated that he ripped his helmet off and almost clocked a referee with it.
He clocked the referee with it.
Well, I don't think he actually hit him. And luckily for him, unless you saw something different, I didn't think he actually hit him.
But I was expecting a fine to come.
I don't think so. I think he held up, like he was about to hit him in the back, and I thought he held up. But yeah, I mean, definitely there, he would have been saying bye bye to the game if he had landed. So it was nice to see that, and him talking about Jair chirping, and yeah, he's just trying to get into my head. Well, he did.
Big time.
He did.
And he got him out of the game. I mean, this wasn't a third, fourth quarter. I'm giving a – he was done in the first quarter.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was totally frustrated. And what I loved the best was the way they were smacking him at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
He's not used to that, obviously. I don't think anyone's ever done that to him before.
No. Do you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember Craig Newsome?
Newsome, yeah.
Yeah, in the first playoff game the Packers played against San Francisco back in the early 90s, and he took Brent Jones, the San Francisco all-pro tight end, and just beat him into the ground at the line of scrimmage more than once. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a swagger, not only for, obviously, Craig Newsome, but for that entire team. Yeah. An entire team was just playing with the swagger. And so, at some point, you got to look at Jair and say, hey, I'm going to take on their best player. I'm going to take him out, and I'm going to do it with style and panache and flash.
Panache. Good word.
Thank you. The rest of the team buys into that, and you could see that momentum just right away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that stuff builds. You know, that builds confidence.
Speaking of Viking fans who are a little bit annoying, my favorite, of course, was them crying over Jair doing the gritty directly in front of him, which, by the way, you know, we're all looking like, this is awesome, and oh my God, we're going to get a flag. And we did not.
Yeah, and
they were complaining about the flag, and I'm like,
right, and Jefferson pointing to the referee, pointing to it, saying, asking basically, like taunting, yes. You know, that's when I knew it was in his head, when he's like, yes. Wow, he's making fun of me.
And it's so
funny. It was good to see.
And it was like, you know, the spiking fans like, well, he should have gotten a penalty, the refs. I'm like, dude, your defensive back just basically crawled all over Christian Watson's back when he had a sure touchdown, no call. And your wide receiver just basically hit, out of frustration, a referee with a helmet, and he's still in the game. So the Viking fans really had, for once, you know, nothing. They had nothing they could even try to complain about with the officiating.
Oh, but they did.
They tried.
They will always try.
They will always try, but they realized it was kind of a no starter. Thus, we have the overwatering of the field as the new excuse.
That's what they moved on to.
And if that's where they got to go, you want to say we got into Justin Jefferson's head? Yeah. I think we got in the fans' heads if that's where they're going to go.
No doubt.
But, you know, and speaking of Darrell Revis, you know, the former Jets cornerback who was.
Who was speaking of Darrell Revis?
Oh, I'm not, but I'm saying Revis Island. Jair became an island, which we've talked about for so long. Over the past, you know, season, where they've been playing this zone defense, and Jair's just wanted to cover a guy and just be a shutdown corner. He got that opportunity, and he's proven himself. And we were complaining earlier this year, Jersey Al, is Jair Alexander, you know, highest paid defensive back in football, yada, yada, yada. I think he earned his paycheck on Sunday.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
So another thing we say every week, Jersey Al.
Yes.
Gosh, that special teams is just overwhelmingly good. Boy, that special teams is great for the Packers. Actually, we don't normally say that.
No, not normally.
But we could on Sunday.
We're happy with they didn't really, really screw things up badly.
True. And but they did a couple things that were very notable.
Yes, I think so.
Now, obviously, the blocked punt was
on the negative side, right?
Was a negative. But once again, when you block a punt and you have the ball on the 1 yard line and have a first down and you only manage 3 points, that's a huge pickup. So we were able to sidestep that. But Keshawn Nixon, what a guy.
What a guy.
What?
If only you could learn to spell his name correctly.
I know. I will never do so. Someone, obviously, he had this amazing return from the end zone. What was it? I can't remember if it was 103 yards, 90-something yards.
Yeah.
For the touchdown. An amazing angle on TV where they just happened to be using the overhead camera. And we got to see an entire, you know, in real time, a full kickoff return for a touchdown.
And you could see that hole open up from the end zone angle. And it's like, whoa, the Red Sea parting.
And I had someone on Twitter mention me, says, you know, this is as good as it was with Desmond Howard, you know, back in the 90s, mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl year. And I said, yeah, but you know what? Desmond Howard had guys like, you know, Don Beebe. And, you know, he had veteran guys playing special teams because that's how deep and stacked that Packer team was. Nixon is playing with guys who are shuffling on and off the practice squad in front of him. And he has been making consistent, powerful runbacks every time. And you can see him catch that ball. And I don't care if it's 7 yards deep in the end zone.
Neither does LaFleur.
He just gears up and he's bringing it out. And you're like, whoa.
You know, it's funny. In one of LaFleur's talks, I don't know if it was right after the game or the next day, they were talking about Nixon. And he was kind of saying that he was surprised. There was another kickoff where the ball probably landed around 5 or 6 yards deep in the end zone, and you know, Nixon didn't catch it, and LaFleur was like, I was surprised he didn't catch that and go. I told him afterward, take it and catch it and go. So now they're all in anytime you can. He goes, I don't care where you are, catch the ball and take it out.
What a switch that is when you're coach.
Sheesh, my God.
I remember being in high school with one guy on my basketball team, and the coach yelled at him and said, you know, this is before there was a 3-point line and he must have hit a 25 footer. And he says, what are you shooting that for? He says, I can hit it. He says, you don't shoot that unless you can hit that like 15 out of 20 times. And he went in practice, picked up the ball, and he hit 17 out of 20. And the coach says, that's a good shot. And walked away. And
okay.
That story reminded me exactly of that. Like, here's Matt LaFleur. You know, we got to be conservative. We got to be safe on these kickoff returns. Oh, yeah, you go ahead. Yeah. I don't care if you got a foot on the end zone. Just take it. Go.
He's not that concerned anymore.
He's a believer. Mm-hmm. And speaking of my friend Mason Crossbar.
Yes.
Wonderfully honored last week with a consecutive game streak, team record. Mm-hmm. The field goal that he hit that bounced off the crossbar. Now, luckily, he wasn't playing for the Bears because it would have hit another crossbar and gone back on the field. But bounces on the crossbar, goes through. A 56-yarder?
56.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, if you heard Matt LaFleur in the interview, he's literally on the radio with Aaron Rodgers saying, okay, I think we're going to have to go for a Hail Mary here.
Right.
And he looks out on the field, and Mason Crosby is already on the field.
There he is, getting ready to take the kick.
He's like, okay. I mean, what's Matt LaFleur's job anymore? I mean, Mixon's returning the kicks for touchdowns. Crosby's just going to go decide when he's going to kick field goals. It's just it's a crazy season at this point.
Yep.
So talking about the fantastic defense, talking about the fantastic special teams, our offense was quite good.
Efficient?
Well, we handed the ball off.
Yeah, efficient.
Something else we say every single week. Isn't it great that we...
Why do they run so much, right? Don't we say that all the time?
Aaron Jones with another 100-yard game.
Oh, man.
But Aaron Jones was powering through. A.J. Dillon had a couple in there. Taylor even got in there with a couple nice runs. Just consistent run game on that muddy field, on that slippery field, and just punishing that defense.
Yeah, it really did. And I mean, the blocking was tremendous from the tight ends, especially Jones had most of his success on the edge, you know, going either those toss plays or whatever. And, you know, the tight ends leading the play, they're blocking linebackers, they're blocking defensive linemen and opening up holes for Jones. It's if you like running game in football, that was a good game to watch. Boy, there was some nice things going on.
And, you know, you expect that from Mercedes Lewis. You expect that from Alan Lazard. But you're seeing Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and Josiah DeGara. These guys are all getting downfield when they're in the game. And
they've all bought in.
Randall Cobb was making a heck of a block downfield on one of those plays. I mean,
I saw that. He made the block, right? But then, like, the pile started coming towards him, and he just kind of, like, jumped and skipped out of the way. He's like, all right, I did enough.
I did my job.
I'm in the pile, right. I'm not getting in the pile. That's funny. But anyway, yes, so they've all bought into that, which is great.
So it's so funny that we talk about this, because this is almost like the antithesis of our show, every show we've done this season, where we've complained about the whole game plan being centered around a certain quarterback. And we said, oh, the defense, oh, the special teams, why aren't we doing the run game? Da, 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 da. And Rodgers actually ended up just being efficient.
Efficient is my word.
Game manager. I mean, rushed for a touchdown. Great to see, you know, one more championship belt. Hopefully, maybe that might be the last one we see. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But other than maybe trying a little too hard to force the ball to Christian Watson,
You know that's going to happen.
Well, especially.
You know they're going to take some deep shots, no matter what. So you got to allow that.
And I don't think Watson was 100% that game.
Probably not. Yeah.
So, I mean, had he been 100%, maybe they would have connected on a couple. But
it was good to have him out there just running at safeties or whatnot. That opens spaces. So that was good to see.
Absolutely. So, you know, you think about John Elway in the year they won the Super Bowl against the Packers. You know, here's a legendary, top five quarterback of all time who really was a game manager. I mean, that team was centered around a great defense and Terrell Davis, and his job was really do what he needed to do to get the offense up and down the field. You know, it wasn't reliant on John Elway anymore. And that's what you know, Sunday reminded me of. Rodgers is great. He still has that ability to make a great pass and put a pass right on the money. But we weren't completely reliant on him to do everything. And I think he kind of liked that too. I think he kind of realized, you know, this isn't a bad thing. Handing this ball off and just making the pass is what I need.
All right. Nice, comfortable game. Nothing wrong with that.
So interpret for me, Jersey Isle, if you will.
Okay.
There are over 9 minutes left in the game against the Vikings. You're winning comfortably, whatever it was, 31-3. Over almost 10 minutes left in the game, and you take out Aaron Rodgers and a bunch of the starters, and you put in Jordan Love. What message were we sending at that time?
Message is, we just stomped you into the ground, and you are not coming back from this one, no matter what. I mean, they stomped on the Vikings. They didn't just beat them. They stomped on them.
And we feel so good about it that we're going to put in our backups, including our backup quarterback, with a ton of time left. And that's particularly cocky when you're playing against a team that has been so good at coming back in the fourth quarter.
Right.
To say, you know what, we're not even afraid of you. We're going to put in number 10 and, you know, hand the ball off. So just incredible.
But the second half there, Packers did a great time using clock too. You know, which really put things out of reach for any type of miracle comeback from the Vikings. You know, they really ran the clock down nicely and wasted plenty of time. So they were not concerned.
So in conclusion, you enjoyed this
Your
game,
Honor.
You enjoyed this game.
I certainly did. Yes, very much so.
Did you spend a little time on Twitter trolling after the game was over?
You know, a little bit.
The title of the show is, you know, I've got my mojo back. And I kind of touched on this last week, that it felt like our mojo, I didn't say the words exactly, but it felt like our mojo was stolen in that first game. And the Vikings took it, and we've just been so, for lack of a better word, impotent for quite some time this season. And it was such a fulfilling, I don't want to say revenge game, but just there's a word I'm thinking of and I can't think of. Can you think of the word?
No, I don't know what you're thinking.
Revenge? Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, it's just one of those games where you're like, oh, we have got it back. We went in, we took back what was ours, and we have all the momentum. Well,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought you were going to come up with a word. I was all excited.
No, I don't have the word. I was going to say something else.
No. Yeah, go ahead, man.
There's a song by Lucinda Williams called Joy, you know, and the main lyric of the song is, you took my joy and I want it back. And that's what they did. You know, Packers got their joy back. They got it back from the Vikings, who, like you said, kind of took it from them that very first game. And I think there's a lot of joy in that Packers locker room right now with these, you know, the run that they've made and want to go into the playoffs. I think they're feeling it. We'll see what happens, though.
I said it a couple times on Twitter that night. A couple cocky Viking fans said, you're gonna have to go play the Viking. I said, actually, guys, we're going to see you in Minnesota in 2 weeks. Get ready. And that one Viking fan had a comment back because they're scared. They are scared to face us now. That's what we
want. Yeah, I don't think we know how that'll turn out yet as far as seedings and everything. But, you know, we'll see.
But it scares them if it does work out.
Oh, if it, yeah.
They are scared.
That's and a scary if for them.
You're a 12-win team. You won the division. You're going to have a first-round home game regardless. And the last thing you want to face is the Green Bay Packers. That is the most satisfying thing. And with that, that'll bring us to the end of the first quarter. Would you call that a win?
Oh, biggest win of the year.
Huge win. Huge win of the year. 1-0. For our second quarter, obviously we're going to take this down a little bit because as high as we were on Sunday and then through most of the day Monday, Packer fans, ourselves, as well as fans all across the NFL were stunned as we watched the Monday Night Football game. Damar Hamlin, a safety for the Buffalo Bills, was making a tackle. T. Higgins, I believe, for the Bengals, and Higgins put his helmet down and struck him directly kind of in the sternum pretty hard and went down on the field, required CPR on the field. And the world just came to a stop, a standstill. And I don't know if you were watching the game live, Jersey Al.
Well, I'll tell you my situation. I play tennis on Monday nights, and I got home around 9:30 Eastern, and you know, I come home, and about 10-15 minutes later, I turned on the game, and I'm seeing like nothing going on the field, and wondering what the heck's going on. And next thing you know, they're showing video of like coaches talking to somebody, you know, outside the locker room. And it took a good 10 minutes before they actually said what was going on. And I had no idea. But that's kind of where I came into it. So I didn't see any of it live. I didn't see the ambulance come out. I didn't see the prayer circle. I just kind of saw the aftermath of it.
I actually had just sat down at my computer and I had put together an audio file, a little funny one that I was doing with Chris Lempesis of Lemp's Talk and Pack, and had just finished it and was going to post it. You know, it's kind of a funny joke, and went on to Twitter. And the first thing I saw was the video footage of him collapsing, which thankfully not many of us have seen unless we were looking for it, because they obviously, you know, said, let's not show this.
Right.
As much, let's show other, you know, other pictures and photos. But that's what I went on. I said, I'm not posting this funny thing right now. This was something. And it quickly switched on the TV, and it was just a few minutes after it happened. So I did watch through the prayer circles and the ambulance, and the feeling that the players were having and how visceral their reactions were. It was tough to watch, you know, these grown men, most of whom who've spent their whole life feeling rather invincible and immortal, as, you know, people who've grown up as world-class athletes tend to feel, shaken seeing one of their own fellow, you know, players down and, for lack of a better word, in danger of dying.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, the reaction of players there was quite striking, right? A lot of tears, a lot of anguish from both teams, players on both teams, not just, you know, Hamlin's teammates. You know, it kind of, I don't want to say surprised me, but I've been watching football for 50 years, you know, and back in the day, you wouldn't have seen these type of reactions, you know. I mean, there wasn't this type of sensitivity that we have today. And it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's a great thing that we're so much more sensitive to things like this and caring, but it wouldn't have been like that 30, 40 years ago.
And there was a player who passed away on the field, 1972. Does that sound right?
Dick Butkus.
Yeah. Butkus. I was just watching the video of that. I can't remember. I want to say it was Hayes was his last name. But Dick Butkus gave him a heck of a hit, and there was a blood clot that was loosened, and he passed away on the field. And that was the last time as far as I can tell, the only time that we know that it's happened. Mm. But yeah, I mean, we're used to sitting kind of in shock when a player is leaving, you know, in a neck brace or is having their body,
right,
you know, stiffened, because we're like, oh my God, are they going to be paralyzed? You know, Daryl Stinkley, stuff like that.
Right. You hope you get the thumbs up, and then you feel good, and
right. And
you move on. Right.
Right. And that's serious
but
enough.
This but is different.
It was quite different. And it's interesting because, you know, and I don't want to get deep in the weeds of what's going on, because at the time we're recording this, DeMar is still in the hospital. He's still in critical condition. There are some optimistic signs, but it has not been a full recovery at this time. So everyone is still quite concerned, and rightfully so, in prayers. And there's so much silver linings that comes out of this. You know, his charity that I think had like $2,000 or something to it suddenly went up to, what is it, up to $5 million now?
Last I saw it was $6 million.
$6 million.
Just before, yeah.
And crazy. It's not not all Buffalo Bills fans.
No, of course, you know? Not.
It's fans from every NFL team and people who are not even NFL fans. So, you know, that is neat to see fandoms taking down the walls, coming together and understanding that humanity is probably a little more important than the divisions that we create as fans. And it was nice to see the collective response.
Right.
It wasn't perfect. And, you know, we're not going to get into the weeds of whether the NFL decided to cancel the game soon enough, which, you know, is kind of a ongoing drama of the,
no,
we didn't. Yes, you did. Obviously comments from certain people who will remain nameless on this show, but feel like they were trying to draw some attention to themselves or get some clicks.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, here's a guy whose name I didn't know before, and now I do, and I'm rooting for this guy.
Yep.
To just live, and I think it's anything interesting story, and this happened Sunday night when I was looking to troll Vikings fans, and I was going on and, you know, searching Vikings and Skull and all that, came across this woman who had done a post, and apparently she had been pretty emotional. And she was not only ticking off some Packer fans, she was ticking off some fellow Viking fans. And the post of hers that came up was an apology. She says, "I'm sorry. I know that I'm very overly emotional." She goes, "This is my first New Year without my husband."
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always going to be a true blue Viking fan. I said, you know, this is where I'm at. And, you know, she's like this. And I remember responding to her kind of saying, you know, I'm a Packer fan, and I said, bless you and everything with the new year, and I hope everything goes well for you, and I hope your team does well. And I said, sometimes humanity, the joy of humanity, is more important than the divisions we put up as fans. And that's kind of when I stepped back and said, you know what, I'm not going to troll anymore tonight, because these people are humans. They're purple humans, but they're still humans.
Purple humans.
And and then literally less than 24 hours later, a much huger definition of humanity occurs.
No doubt. No doubt. One thing that I learned from this was Mina Kimes did an interview with, I'm guessing it's an ex-player, Dominique Foxworth.
Okay.
I don't know him, but I'm thinking that he's a guest player because he did at one point say when I played or something like that. I'm not sure if he's any type of media person now or not, but she had a nice little chat with him. And there's just like a 2-minute clip of part of it, which on her Twitter feed, if I suggest everybody go watch it. And what I learned from it was that NFL players only get 5 years of healthcare after they retire. 5 years. After that, wow. After that, you're on your own. That's it. That's one thing, which I had no idea. The second thing was they don't have health care until they're vested, you know, until they've played 3 years, I guess, or whatever it is, and they become like vested or whatever the term is. They have to either, well, I imagine most of them go out and get their own, but they're not getting health care from the NFL until they've earned that vesting period, whatever right. It is. Two things I had no idea about as part of the whole contract thing.
Right. Obviously negotiated by, you know, the league and the NFLPA.
Right.
But obviously with everything that we know about concussions and CTE and everything else that's happened over the years, it probably doesn't take too many hits for someone to have some debilitating injuries for the rest of their life. So
yeah,
it's tough. So
anyway,
well, from Jersey Al and Kelly and myself, obviously we're sending all of our prayers to Damar Hamlin and his family, and to, I guess, everyone in the Bills and the Bills family and the Bills Mafia. And we're going to wish for a speedy recovery, a full recovery. And if we're lucky, maybe we'll see him on the field again, but we're happy just to see him up and, you know.
Yep. Hoping for the best outcome.
Absolutely. For him. All right. That'll take us to the end of the second quarter, Jersey Al. We're going to step into the locker room. Please enjoy this message from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Cheesehead Radio. My name is CD Angeli. I am joined by Jersey Al Bracco.
Flanked for once.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's only one other person. Can you be flanked? Just, I suppose you can just be flanked.
Sure, I could be flanked.
Okay, that's fine. So, yeah, he's still flanked. not flanked is Kelly Hodgson, who is often...
She's unflanked.
Yeah, she's unflanked in Colorado or something like that. Too good to join us tonight, so that's fine. We're going to head into the third quarter, and obviously we're going to hit what's really important right now if you're a Packer fan, and that is we got a game on Sunday night, which suddenly... has some pretty major implications. I mean, who would have thought this 2 months ago, Jersey Al?
Nobody. No one.
So effectively, this is a win and end for the Green Bay Packers, who could finish 9-8, make it in as the final seed in the NFC playoffs. Every other seed is taken. I mean, that's all done. You know, six spots are taken. There's only one spot left, and one of the teams eligible for that last spot is the Green Bay Packers, who literally control their destiny. They just have to win and they're in. The other two teams are the Seattle Seahawks, who would need a win, and the Detroit Lions to lose. The Packers to lose. Or, of course, the team we're playing, which is the Detroit Lions, who need a win, and Seattle to lose.
Yeah. So, right now, if the season had ended right now, Seattle would be.
Right.
Right. So
we're still not in. We're still on the outside looking in, but control our destiny because of tiebreaker.
Correct.
It's exciting that we've gotten to this point. One interesting thing that just happened Monday night is the NFL decided to flex the 12 o'clock kickoff to Sunday Night Football, since this really has the potential to be a play-in playoff game.
Yeah. I mean, the Packers are now suddenly the hot team, right, that everyone's talking about, and they're making this run, and everybody had them for dead. So, you know, that equates to viewers. You know, people are going to want to tune in to see if they can do it, if they can complete this run and actually make the playoffs after being 4-8, you know. Nobody has said run the table like we did in another season, but in effect, that's what they would have done. That's what they will have done if they win this game, is run the table.
And of course, if they were to make the playoffs, they would have nothing but away games, not unlike they had to face in 2010.
Correct.
Not to say we're going to win a Super Bowl, but...
No, but it's possible.
It's possible, but, you know, at some point you got to say this team has put it together at the right time. We would love for them to have had it together, say, at the beginning of the year, but look how many teams that had it together at the beginning of the year that, you know, are falling apart. You know, we know the Commanders had to lose quite a number of games to put us in a position to actually be in the playoffs. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. You know, the Giants have been up and down. Dallas has sort of been up and down. There's been a lot of teams that have faded, and that it's not the Packers, but unfortunately, it's also not the Lions. The Lions have been probably one of the hottest teams. If I'm correct, did I read this correct, that they've won 7 out of their last 9?
Well, they were 1-6.
Yeah.
At one point, right? So
they've won 7 out of 9 games. So we're talking about Green Bay being the sexy team right now that everyone wants to watch. The Lions, sort of quietly, are also fairly... I mean, they're also the hot team for the second half of the season. So this is kind of a pretty cool matchup, you know, two teams scrapping for that last playoff spot, but, you know, they're both hot. I don't know about you. I feel a little more threatened maybe by the Lions in this game, assuming they have something to play for, than maybe I do the Vikings. I mean, they've been a pretty solid team these past several weeks.
Yeah, they come to play, you know. Campbell is that fiery coach that has got these guys believing. And, you know, even if the talent level overall might not be as good as some of the teams that they've played, they've beaten these teams, you know, by effort and will. And they kind of believe in themselves. And that's scary, right? When you have a team like that, that really believes, that can be a scary thing. So I don't anticipate an easy time by any chance.
Well, and there's a little bit of a mirror there. You know, the Packers obviously having to scrap and win every game just to make the playoffs. The Vikings, you know, they're a 12-win team, and we already started seeing some of the cracks, you know, especially since they had that massive comeback a few weeks ago. it's hard to stay on top, you know. It's hard not to get complacent. It's hard to not crumble under the pressure. The Lions have no pressure, right? I mean, they're a one-win team, 1-6, and all of a sudden, boom, they've, you know.
Yeah.
They're, you know,
they can play loosey-goosey.
They got nothing to lose, right? So it is scary. Interestingly enough, I was reading a little bit about this. Aaron Rodgers might be somewhat to thank for the Lions' good turnaround. He made some comments after the loss that the Packers had to the Lions in Week 9, and his comment was, as he was complaining, you know, about losing the game and, of course, all the mistakes and da-da-da-da. And his comment was, there's no way in the world we should be losing to a team like that.
Ouch. Ouch. And I think they were 2-6 at the time, something like that. Yeah.
And so that's been, from everything I've been reading, that's been their bulletin board material ever since that happened.
Oh, yeah.
So there might be a little additional motivation for the Lions, too, especially if they have something to play for. Aaron Rodgers might have been the one who gave them such a diss that they said, you know what, we're going to prove to you that we're not.
We're not that team. Even if they don't have someone to play for, I think they'd really like to send a message. You know?
Absolutely.
Like, you're going to have to deal with us next season, and, you know, we're going to kick you out of the playoffs. So
let's talk a little bit about that, though. Let's talk about this decision by the NFL, which I find a little strange, that by moving the game to Sunday night, Seattle will have already played. Now, if Seattle loses, this game is all it's billed to be, because it is legitimately a play-in game for the Packers and the Lions. Whoever wins goes to the playoffs. It's done.
Right. Finish.
Yeah. But if Seattle wins, even if Detroit wins, Seattle goes to the playoffs, which means they won't have as much to play for. They're out of the playoffs, technically. And whether they win or whether they lose, it isn't going to matter. So it's an interesting decision by the NFL to say, oh, we're going to move you to the end, and we're really going to hope Seattle loses, because then it's a really, really big game. but, yeah, if Seattle wins, it's a tough one.
Yeah, but I think either way, it was their best game to put on Sunday night.
Sure.
So, and that's all they care about.
Couldn't they have flexed a game to Saturday, though?
I don't know if they can move between days like that.
I don't know. I know they did flex the game to Saturday. And I was like, well, that would make more sense to have Green Bay and Detroit play first.
Right, but even that, they don't play at the same time on a Saturday.
Right.
They've never done that.
Yes.
So that doesn't solve anything.
Right. I mean, obviously the best situation would be having them playing at the same time, I suppose.
Right.
For Detroit and Seattle's sake.
On Sunday during the day.
But it's not going to matter because Packers win, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all good. But an interesting decision by the NFL. Packer tickets have risen dramatically.
Shocking.
As I predicted a little bit last week, I said, you know, if the Packers lose against the Vikings, you're going to be able to go to a game for probably $15 if you really want to. They might be giving them away. But if they win, and I think I was looking, I mean, you're paying $130 plus $70 fees on some of the sites. I mean, it's $170, $180. It's become quite the ticket. So waiting for Kelly to call and offer me her tickets. Be awesome. The Detroit Lions, which I found to be rather interesting. The Lions had won in Lambeau Field last in 1991. They went on a streak where they did not win in Lambeau Field. I think they won in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And they've not won in Lambeau Field since. So since 1992, they have one win in Lambeau Field.
33 years. That's a span of 33 years.
And there's that weird feeling because, you know, obviously I don't hate the Vikings. Or excuse me, I don't
the Lions.
Hate the Lions as much as I hate the Vikings or even the Bears. I mean, the Lions have just been so harmless and, you know, docile and, you know, limp for so many years. You know, it's hard to hate them.
They've been harmless. Yeah, they've been harmless. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I mean, well, they had the Ndamukong Suh there for a while, and I didn't like him that much. But I think, you know, I would like to see the Packers win. But, you know, if someone has to go instead of us, I'd so much rather it be the Lions than the Vikings. So, yeah. So I think that'll take us to the end of quarter three, unless you have anything you want to add there, sir.
No, I think we're good on that.
All right, big game coming up. We're going to go to the fourth quarter, and we're going to get to this week's Hot Pockets. This is our chance to stand and deliver with a little something that's on our mind. You want to go first or should I go first, Al?
You go first.
All right. Well, my Hot Pocket today is dedicated to slow learners, especially slow learners in the face of everyone else who can literally see the solution, but maybe you're in a position of authority and you can't quite see it. Case in point, as many of us are pointing out, Amari Rodgers. The experiment of six games, including that first Vikings game, in which we continue to have a person who struggled to catch the ball on kickoff returns, punt returns, and even if he did catch it, staggered up the line as if he were, you know, had leg braces on before he even got tackled. And you're just looking at this week after week and you're saying, my gosh, you're risking fumbling the ball, I swear, once a game. And then even when you do it, you're not giving us any positives that make up for it. Amari Rodgers finally waived from the team after, I believe, week six, went to the Texans. And we take this kid named Keyshawn Nixon and put him in there. And immediately, it not only jumpstarts the return team, it seems to jumpstart the special teams. And just seemed, if you ask Aaron Rodgers, it jumpstarts the whole team. It's excitement. And you're just like, this kid was on the roster the whole season.
Yeah,
we saw it. We knew it. We were telling you this after week one. Slow learner. Joe Barry, first week, first several games, decides to keep playing his defense in this two-shell. He's essentially making a prevent defense, his base defense, his base scheme. And every week, we get slaughtered, bloodlet, waterboarded by other teams every single week. Jair Alexander. Jair Alexander literally says, why are we doing this? I should be covering their best guy. No, we don't think so. We're going to continue to play this two-shell prevent defense because I think it's the best thing. We're screaming, Joe Barry, why are you doing this? Literally, we know. Put Jair Alexander on an island with their best receiver. Well, I don't know. I think perhaps this two-shell, maybe we can make it a three-shell. No! This game on Sunday, we take Jair, put him on an island against Justin Jefferson. Why didn't anyone notice this and tell Joe Barry about this? Oh, wait. Everybody did. Slow learner. Thank goodness Matt LaFleur came to his senses with Amari. Thank goodness maybe Matt LaFleur came to his senses with Joe Barry and said, we're going to do it this way. Maybe Joe Barry finally came to his senses, but it's all clicking. Finally, luckily, the learning curve is not completely flat. And that is my Hot
Pockets. Well, that was quite the dissertation there, let me tell you.
I didn't even have a script.
Yeah. And quite hyperbolic, too.
There we go. Try to top that, sir.
I'm not. mine is very tame. So while you can win football games, you know, based on the performance of your star players, football teams that are successful over extended playoff runs or run the table runs or whatever you want to say are those that get contributions from the complementary players on their roster. The Packers' best performance this Sunday, best performance of the season, was filled with such examples. You've got T.J. Slayton on the goal line stand, Keyshawn Nixon taking it to the house, Mercedes Lewis opening holes, Zach Tom filling in at right tackle, Rudy Ford with an interception dagger, and I could go on and on. All I can say is I hope this could be a sign that these 2022 Packers have finally congealed at the right time. And that is my Hot
Pockets. Congealed.
Yes.
Not bad, huh? Not as good as waterboarded, but that's an awfully good word.
Waterboarded was just exaggerative. You know, it wasn't descriptive. Yeah, I wanted to use a different word than hyperbolic because I just used that already. Okay.
You got it.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well, we're going to take a 3-0 win this week. We're not going to give any score for our second quarter, but definitely going into the Lions game, what a great matchup that's going to be. Fourth quarter Hot Pockets, that's another win. So fantastic. And now we're going to get to this week's game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
It is potentially the game of the week as the 8-8 Lions come to Lambeau to face the 8-8 Packers. It's an odd schedule change with the game opted to Sunday night, at which point the Seattle game will be over, leaving the Lions either in a de facto battle with the Pack for the 7th seed or just having to play spoiler for the Seahawks. The Packers have started out as a 4.5-point favorite against the Lions, which I found quite interesting, being the 12-4 or 12-3 Vikings. We were only a 3.5-point favorite over them. They have won 7 of their last 9 games since beating the Packers in Week 9. How do we see this game turning out? Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Okay. Anyone who 5 weeks ago had the Packers playing this game with a trip to the playoffs in the balance, please raise your hand. Anybody?
No.
I didn't think so. No. And yet here we are. Myself, I was fully on the air quotes, it's time to see what we have in Jordan Love, end air quotes, train. But like Homie the Clown on the show in Living Color, Aaron Rodgers don't play that. The Lions are very capable of giving the Packers a difficult time, but I understand the Lambeau Field grounds crew is overwatering the middle of the field as we speak, so we should be just fine. Packers 31, Lions 22.
I don't think anyone who's a millennial or younger remembers who Homie the Clown was, Jersey Al.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Let us know. Let us know if you know.
Well, they're all going on Google right now or YouTube. Yeah, go on YouTube and look it up. You'll thank me later.
Darn kids. Kelly has sent us her prediction, and she is going to take the Lions 31, Packers 24.
Oh, man, what a terrible
guy.
Yeah, no faith in the Packers.
Absolutely not.
Yeesh. Too bad she's not here tonight, so we can't.
So funny she picked the Lions because you know, if Packers win, you two would tie for overall for second place.
I know.
So it's interesting that she would have chosen the Lions when she's not here.
Right.
Yeah.
That means she's that confident.
That weird, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
All right. Well, there is there's probably no two hotter teams in the NFL right now. And if the Seahawks lose, it is literally a play-in game to the NFL playoffs for two teams who 2 months ago had virtually no hope of making it. Now, despite the Vikings being 12-3 coming into their matchup with the Packers last week, the Lions might actually be a stiffer challenge for Green Bay. Now, if the Seahawks win, the Packers are going to roll and head to the playoffs. But I'm going to base my prediction on a Seattle loss and a very motivated Lions team trying to make this game very, very interesting. I think this game is going to be very gritty, and I think it's going to be very chippy. But the Packers are going to pull out a win over the Lions 24-21. Thank you for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our lucky 13th season. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to other unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and look us up on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave a review. You can also find us with Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying Play Packers Talk Podcast. Go try it right now. Finally, make sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field, around the web at theticketking.com. There's only one more game left, guys. Let's go get those tickets. That's a wrap. Let's go, Pack, go!
Go, Pack, go. On to the playoffs. Woo-hoo.
Thank you for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio, now in our lucky 13th season. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can listen to other unique
Just Packers. Read it, CD.
I know. Just read it. The words.
Read the words. Where have I heard that before? All right. Now you do have to edit something.